Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
It's a discussion of the latest entertainment news and celebrity gossip that go beyond the headlines. Welcome to Daily Pop, the podcast edition.
What's up, everyone, and welcome to Daily Pop. It's Friday the 13th. Oh, my goodness. Melanie, Justin, and Carissa here with you. We have a big mystery to solve. Did Kris Jenner secretly interview Beyonce when she was just 11 years old? We are breaking down all the new conspiracy theories. Then Taylor Swift is calling out the music world's toxic male privilege. We'll dig into those strong comments. Plus, Kelly Ripa and Mark Consuelos are joining us live to discuss the holidays and so much more. Plus, we have Kristen Doughty from Vanderpump Rules is here. She is breaking some big news with us today. Okay, we're going to kick things off with the wild internet theory involving Beyonce and Kris Jenner, and it's all thanks to Bey's dad, Matthew Knowles. So Matthew posted a couple of videos from 1992 of an 11-year-old Beyonce during her Girls' Time days. She's being interviewed by someone who looks a lot.
Exactly, yeah.
Exactly like Kris. Just watch and listen to her voice.
Girls' Time, and we've got three lead singers and three lead dancers, as they call it, and they've been just practicing their hearts out, and this is Beyonce. Now, tell me about getting over the stage fright. I mean, how did this go from having fun and singing for a few people to where, I mean, you're going to go out there and you're going to try to make it big?
Well, I guess if we keep on practicing and practicing and we keep on performing, every time we get better and the stage fright just fades away.
Fades away.
We love your outfits.
Yeah. If you close your eyes and listen to that over and over again, that 11-year-old girl sounds like she's 33 with three kids and has been through a lot and had the lemonade and had to crush her, you know, had to leave a boat and had Becky. It's so crazy how much soul she had in her voice at 11 years old.
Wait, but what about the other woman's voice?
No, Kris Jenner liked a shoulder pad. What she didn't like was a structured blazer. Like, that waistline would have been cinched.
Well,
back
this was
then.
Back in the day.
This is the 80s, darling. That was, like, all about that time. I love, actually, that I don't think it's Kris Jenner. Looks exactly like Kris Jenner. I think if it was Kris Jenner, Matthew Knowles, who knows about publicity, would have posted that it was Kris Jenner.
Good for you.
And the fact that he didn't means that it isn't, really.
Yeah, I mean, at first glance, she definitely looks like her. And at that, for those first couple words that come out of her mouth, I'm like, it's Kris. But then when she keeps talking, I'm like, no.
I would love to see a picture of the lady doing the interview there and Kris Jenner side by side now and still see if they still look alike.
They should just remake this. Internet reaction has been hilarious, including questions like, is this a glitch in the Matrix? Well, don't worry. We digged into it. We have learned. Sadly, it is not Kris.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, don't get disappointed, guys. I'm sorry. All right, moving on. The stars brought their A game to the Billboard Women in Music event last night. Take a look at Taylor, Alicia, Normani, and Billy, the fashion was on point.
It's the first time I ever wanted to wear something Billie Eilish wore. Because yeah. It's always usually off the wall and outlandish. And this is kind of off the wall, but it's so cute.
Yeah, it's cool. Everything about her is cool. Alicia Keys is my favorite out of all four of these.
Yeah, I agree.
I love that color purple, and she always just looks so chic and looks like she's getting younger. Why is that? How does she do that? She just gets younger and younger with age. And yeah, they all look great. Okay, well, Taylor was honored with the Woman of the Decade Award, which is huge. During her speech, she took a couple jabs at Scooter Braun. Here's a clip.
Let me just say that the definition of the toxic male privilege in our industry is people saying, but he's always been nice to me when I'm raising valid concerns about artists and their rights to own their music. And of course he's nice to you. If you're in this room, you have something he needs. The fact is that private equity is what enabled this man to think, according to his own social media post, that he could buy me. But I'm obviously not going willingly.
Well, what do you all think about her speech overall?
You know, it was 15 minutes long, and there's been some criticism out there that she spoke for too long. I think it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable when somebody speaks their truth. And I think what she had to say last night was incredibly valid. I think she was very articulate. And while there's one particular website that this morning kind of made it seem like she's whining and she's moaning. And sure, like, that might be how we categorize women who are able to continue to say, this does not feel right to me and I am upset by this. Mm-hmm. But that is not whining and moaning. That is being smart, intelligent, knowing exactly what your rights are. And so I think that for her, she turns 30 today, so happy birthday, Taylor. Mm-hmm. I think that the fact that she is able to stand up on a stage and continue to say, this is not right and I'm not happy, is incredibly courageous.
Yeah.
I agree.
No, I'm just trying to put this in the most politically correct way because I sometimes feel like when you whine about something, people
she's
miss...
She's not whining.
No. When people say you're whining about something, it's almost like, oh, why is she saying this again? But I feel like if you believe in something and you truly want change, you whine about it until something happens. And I think for her, she's putting a warning out there to other artists to not be complacent to this injustice, to not just sit back and let people rule your own destiny. And I feel like for her, in my life, if I'm up for a battle, I like to ask two questions. Is it gonna change anything for myself, or is it gonna change for anything for people coming behind me? Mm-hmm. And if one of the answers are yes, guess what? I'm gonna fight to the bitter end.
Yep.
And I'm gonna say what's supposed to be said, and I'm gonna say what makes people feel uncomfortable, because a lot of times, in this business especially, people tell you, oh, don't say that. You don't want people to think you're ungrateful. Don't say that. You don't want people to, you don't want to affect your next contract. You know what? Screw everything. Say what you need to say. Get your word out there, because if you start the fire, other people will light the torches with you.
And you know what? Taylor goes on, the speech, I get, you're right. There were moments where it's uncomfortable. I think also we're so used to like her giving these kind of talks like in front of like an award show crowd where there's like clapping and stuff in the middle of the speech, and like this was like a quiet room. They were all like listening to
because
every
it's
single word.
To hear.
And because there's probably some friends of Scooter and Scott in that room as well. So that's also uncomfortable and bold of her to actually make that conversation happen in front of her peers.
But also we're used to people accepting, let's say, I'm so sorry to interrupt you there, Carissa, but accepting an award by being, thank you so much to the Academy, thank you so much to Billboard, thank you so much, rather than getting up there and being like, thank you. Now, let me, if you're going to give me this award, let me tell you what I'm going through right now.
Yeah. She also went down her whole decade of all the different times the media or the critics have you know, labeled her as something. And it was so interesting to hear her spell it all out about how she was criticized for dating too much in her 20s. So she stopped. Her Red album was filled too many breakup songs. So she made one about New York, trying to hang out with having fun with her friends. Then she was sharing too much of her friends on social media. So she stopped that. Then she was a calculated manipulator rather than a smart businesswoman. She said, okay, so I'll disappear from the public for a few years. And I think the one thing that she came back around at the very end and saying, like, you know what, now I'm 30 and after 10 years of being in this and playing that game and actually living my career and living my life to go against what the critics have said it to, like, kind of, you know, say like, oh, you're going to say this about me? Well, then I'm going to do this. I'm going to basically react to what you have said. She's now gotten to a point where she feels strong enough to not react to what everybody is saying and just focus on herself and do what she wants. But my goodness, it's like to hear her say that is huge for artists coming up like Billie Eilish and Hailey Cuoco and these girls that are like learning that they can find their voice much sooner. It just shouldn't have to take you 10 years of success to feel like you can stand up for yourself.
Really good point.
Yeah, but you know what? In the grand scheme of things, see, we have to be completely honest and we have to say that not everybody can stand up to an executive
true,
like a Taylor
true.
Swift. Not everybody has the power yeah. or the big dick energy to say, I don't want to sign this contract because you own, you know, this many albums and this is not going to happen. Not everybody has that luxury.
But doesn't you think that this helps her maybe being labeled as whiny or people being upset that she keeps bringing this up? If she didn't, if she just let this go and said, okay, you guys don't want me to talk about it anymore? I won't talk about it anymore. Then she would be just adding fuel to that fire of not creating change.
No, I totally agree. I totally agree. I think she should stand up there for maybe less than 15 minutes, because I ain't got 15 minutes to listen to the speech, and say your thing. And I think she should fight until she figures out or until she feels that her legacy and her mark is done. But I think she's going to change some things. I don't mind that she stands up and says every single thing. I'm actually rooting for her in this situation. I'm also rooting to get the full story, because I know from multiple sources, we don't have all the facts.
Right.
And not all the facts could be laid out there. And there have been, I'm sorry, I love you, Taylor, and I'm helping you forge this whole thing. But at the same time, there have been facts from the other side that have not really
lined up.
So you have a story, he has a story, and then there's the truth. I just would like the truth before we start this. Let's all rebel against our situations. Let's all go and burn our contracts, because you know what happens. You know exactly what happens. You follow the leader into something, and then all of a sudden, when it blows up, you're like, oh my God, I'm burned. I can't believe this happened. How do I backtrack? And the leader is fine because she's on a pedestal. She's Taylor Swift. She's got the clout.
Yeah, but she kind of gave us, last night was less an acceptance speech. It was more a lesson in the future of the music industry and how things are working. And that's what I mean. Like, people weren't necessarily clapping, not just because they felt uncomfortable, but also because they're like, oh, someone's discussing like private equity firms during an awards show. What's going on, you know? But she's teaching people. And, you know, last night was her acceptance speech. It was her 15 minutes. It was her stage. It was her opportunity to have a voice about a moment in her life where she feels like she has not had a voice.
So,
and I'm, yeah.
Let me ask you this.
It was very inspirational, I think.
Scooter has been talking about how his family has been receiving death threats.
Which is terrible.
But do you think it's up to the artist, you know, to talk to their fans and say, yo, this is more than this and that. Maybe we should stop. This has gone too far. Do you feel like she owes that to Scooter Braun?
I do think she could do that. I think that that would be nice. I think it's always a good reminder. I mean, it also feels like, you know, you can tell people till you're blue in the face, like, don't do stupid things. Don't be ridiculous online. Don't be a social media bully. And they'll still do it. But I think it would be nice for her. Maybe not. This was not the time or the moment. This was her about getting.
This was her.
This was about her and receiving this award and really telling her story. If that would come out, I would say like in a tweet or an Insta story, something like just a reminder. You know, I'm never standing for violence. Please do not do that. Would it help? I don't know. I don't know if it would actually help.
I think it would help. I think it would help. I think people getting up and saying, we're going to resolve this like adults, and I'm going to stand on this pulpit, but I'm also going to meet with these people because we are all in this together. We're all human beings. Please stop the death threats.
But I think according to her, they didn't meet with her before they bought the music, right? Like, so now we're asking...
Did Comcast meet with you guys before they bought NBC Universal?
That's different.
It's not.
Yes,
we work on this.
Well, first of all, I wasn't here, Justin, so that is different.
AT&T, did AT&T meet with Fox before they bought their asses too?
I don't own Daily Pop. This isn't my art. This isn't like my, you know, the thing
creation.
About Taylor and her
art.
Music. It's her videos. It's her songwriting. It's her music. It's her experiences. It's her feelings. It's her art and it's her vision.
But at the end of the day,
somebody
it is a business.
Somebody hasn't come in and bought your photo album.
But somebody came in and bought my likeness to the show and to Just a Sip, and now we're...
It's different. Come on.
I'm just saying.
All right, guys. Coming up, Sarah, Aaron, and David Foster's complicated family drama. How would you feel if your parent chose to raise their stepkids over you? Sad.
Ooh. Ooh, man.
Gosh, I'm sorry.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Our dad was raising other children. Right. He wasn't raising us. We were living with our mom, and our dad was living in this $20 million house with Brandon and Brody. They had a very different life. But out in the world, people would be like, you guys are spoiled brats, and you guys have it all, and you're rich kids. And we would be like, I mean, yeah, but like, we don't live there. We're not even allowed to, we don't have the gate code. Like, we don't have a room there. We don't, we're no, not I don't think really we a part code. Of that world.
Yeah, no, was there resentment, though? I mean.
Oh, deep.
Deep. Okay.
This is such a good podcast.
It makes me so sad.
No, they had a 10,000 square foot house with their mom. Okay, it's
but
fine.
Still, it's your daddy. That's Sarah and Aaron Foster on Kevin and Oliver's podcast called Sibling Rivalry. Growing up, they held deep resentment towards their father, David Foster, mostly because he was spending time more when basically raising the Jenner boys instead of them.
You know, it's interesting. Whenever you look at Sarah and Aaron and you look at their comedy and you look at what they put out there, they're very funny people. And a lot of comedians have to go through dark times in their lives to get to that place. And I think what they have chosen to do is laugh at all the rich spoil girl things and laugh through the fact that their dad was raising other people. So for them, that was their trauma that they had to overcome. I will say it must be really hard to sit and watch your father care for two other children that aren't you and not have that same affection. I think for me, my dad was more of a, my dad was a gambling addict, and to see him want to go to a casino more than spending time with me growing up, it really did a number on me. And I know it's not the same as watching your dad with two other kids, but just watching your dad put his time and his effort into something that had no reward was just as hard. So I get where they're coming from. And I know I made this dumb joke that they had this great life with their mom. Yeah, they had a great life. Their mom was not, you know, just sitting there broke as they weren't in the projects by any means. But at the same time, it's about missing out on something that you feel other people are getting.
It's interesting that they're talking about it now, right? Because when I see them, for the most part, on social media, they're joking with their dad. And if they're interacting with him, they're having fun. And it does make me wonder if this is something that they are going to sit down as a family now, like, I think they're 36, 37, and be like,
oh, they already have.
Still.
They already have. But also, they're feeling comfortable.
Is there anything he can do to make that better?
No, because they're the women they are today because of what they went through. They're as funny. They're as self-deprecating. They're the women that they are today because of it. Yeah. I know I said that twice, but I truly believe that.
I'm sure David has felt bad and has apologized, and that's why they're able to like have such a good relationship with him now. But I don't know that there's anything like when something like that happens to you growing up, so people can apologize and you can move on and you can like love them and realize like, you know what, that was just not your best years. Okay, we'll move past that. But I don't know that you ever completely forgive or completely forget that. I mean, it even sounds like them, they're like, yeah, they held resentment. I mean, I do think that, yes, they're at a good place with their dad right now. But how do you move past that? Fully, like, forget that. You can't. That's your dad. I mean, that's your, when it comes to your parents or your family, it's really hard to put that away.
It's forgiving neglect.
Yeah.
Because what you were describing, it's the same thing.
It's neglect.
Like, it's neglect. And that, and feeling unloved and feeling unseen and feeling like you you don't matter or are not as important as something else or somebody else.
But I feel like every kid kind of goes through that. If you have siblings, you don't go to it to that degree. But if you have older or younger siblings, you see your parents do certain things with younger siblings that they didn't do with you. Maybe spending more time. Maybe
but that's a mild comparison to him being gone for 6 years of their life.
No,
pretty much, you know, and not having a room in your dad's house. Whenever the stepchildren have rooms, you don't even know the gate code. Like, that's another level than, like, having to wait my turn to, you know, hang out with mom.
Walter's kids don't have my gate code. And those grown-ass, I'm not even going to get into it.
All right, guys, up next, Kelly Roper and Mark Consuelos are going to be joining us live. We're discussing the holidays and much more. That's next. Okay, how great is this? We have Kelly Roper and Mark Consuelos out right now doing some Christmas shopping. What's up, guys? You guys are going to make some beautiful families and give them a brighter holiday.
We've been very lucky to partner with Amazon. We are we're taking Amazon Charity Smile List, and we're going in New York City and make a beautiful having families in the New York City area.
Okay. So we're having a few technical issues. We're talking about Amazon 4-star store and their Delivering Smiles campaign, and we really want to hear about it. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to get our connection figured out, and then we'll be right back. Just kidding. We're going to talk about Red Table Talk.
Yes, Red Table Talk.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
To give this one more shot, we have Kelly Ripa and Mark Consuelos joining us live from New York at the Amazon 4-star store in Soho. Tell us about what you guys are doing today.
We're picking up some supplies and wrapping paper for a party that we're throwing this afternoon at one of our favorite charities, the Wynn Homeless Shelter on the Upper East Side of Manhattan.
We can't wait. We're smiling because we're partnering with Amazon Smile charity, and it really is a great way for everybody to get involved with organizations that they feel passionate about and contribute to any specific item on anybody's wish
list. You can check off the list.
Yeah, or you can just participate when you're shopping.
When you're shopping on Amazon.
And it really is a very easy, simple way to give a little happiness to other people.
Especially right now,
That's so amazing.
But the most important question, did you pick up my Christmas gift yet?
Yes.
Of course we did.
Size 12?
Wait, hang on.
A size 12.
There's a special... Justin, okay. There's a special on
Poo Parade. Hey, Parade.
I
know that you wanted it.
Carissa and I do need that. Carissa and I share a dressing room. We need that.
It comes in two flavors.
licorice.
I'm going to take the licorice.
White chocolate.
Hey, while we have you guys, we have to talk to you about your Christmas card because it was so adorable.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we got lessons.
But how do you wrangle? Everyone's so busy in the family. How do you get all the kids together at one time?
We didn't. People Magazine did.
That helps, right?
I'm not kidding. I resorted to using professional photographs from a photo shoot with all of us. That's the only reason I'm in the
photo.
Because
there were other adults there and other people, so the kids had to behave.
Yeah, they pretended they
had to do it.
Oh my God.
Let me ask you this really quick before I let you guys go. When you guys were on All My Children and it was the beginning days of your careers, what's the fondest moment that you guys have together in those first few years celebrating Christmas?
Aww.
That's a great question. We were celebrated in New York City, which is always nice.
Yeah, it's, you know, New York City is, I know it's 82 where you are, but New York City is a really beautiful place to celebrate the holidays, everything. Like, the best parts of New York are free during the holidays.
Yeah.
The windows, the things are beautiful, walking down the street, the smell of chestnuts. It's stuff that you can't really purchase. It's just an atmosphere.
That feeling.
So we have fond memories.
Just being together, being with each other.
Aww. But we love you guys.
Love you guys.
And we hope you have a very Merry Christmas.
You too.
Enjoy shopping, thank you for chatting with us today.
Size 12.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
So cute.
Oh, that was fun. They're so adorable.
They're the nicest people ever, really.
All right, well, let's move on now to the Red Table Talk. Okay, So on the recent Red Table Talk, Jada Pinkett Smith's mom, Gammy, explained why she avoids baby mama drama. Take a look.
But it's difficult to put the children first, put all of that adult mess aside and make the children your priority.
Yeah.
And I've not had to deal with it because I purposely dated men that did not have children.
Right, well, you knew what you could have. So that's smart.
Honestly,
I actually appreciate that more. Because I'm always like, you knew the guy had, or the woman had kids.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
So what did you expect? That person was just going to leave their family behind?
I love this conversation. I do think it's such an important thing to think about before you get into a relationship with someone. Do I want to date someone with kids? Do you guys have that conversation with yourself?
Listen, I tell all my friends, when you have a baby with somebody, there is a 50% chance your man's going to step up to the plate, or there's a 50% chance he's going to be lazy and you're going to want to kill him.
Oh.
So why not get a preview of who a man really is when they already have kids? You can see what kind of father they are. You can get a glimpse into who they truly are as a person.
I mean, I've dated a man who...
lived in a van?
Has a child. And, you know, it's obviously difficult, but it's been lovely. You're absolutely right. Like, I've actually fallen more in love with somebody because of who they are as a father.
Amen.
You know what's so funny? My friend is dating a guy who has kids, and she has always been on the fence of whether or not she wants kids herself, and she fell in love with this guy. He's got two young children, and she's like, the one thing that and this is the first guy she's ever dated with kids, and she said, they know how to love someone else more than they know than themselves. And that's like a lesson that sometimes you don't learn until you have children.
Yes.
And so if they already know how to put somebody else's needs before themselves, then it's like almost like you're skipping a step. You don't have to wait for them to develop that kind of love for you. That's like, well, we already know how to treat somebody really well because this is how I want to treat my kids. With that said, baby mama drama is real.
It is a thing.
And it can totally affect the relationship. It all depends on where that guy is at with his ex. Because if she's still extremely into the picture or she is extremely hard to get along with, I know that situation. I know friends who've had that situation, too, and it just can ruin a relationship.
But it's also a bonding moment for Walter and I. You know, he has three ex-wives.
Okay.
And two of the ex-wives...
more about Walter every day.
No, and two of the ex-wives are like my sister wives, and the reason why we are sister wives is because we hate the third bitch. Like, so we gang up on Diane because we can't stand her, but I just think sometimes the baby mama drama comes with the package. There's always going to be drama in a relationship. You can't look at a man and say, I can't be with you because your ex-wife is crazy.
There could be dramas with an ex, whether you're male, female, whether there's children or not, anyway.
It's called baggage, right?
It's just like that.
Everybody has some baggage.
And that's what happens. The older you get, the more likely you're going to date somebody who's got a history. Thank goodness they have a history. It means they have experience and they've lived life a little bit. It's like normal.
But I will say this.
Deal with your own stuff.
But I will say this. I will accept baby mama drama. What I can't do in 2020, because a lot of people like to do this, is, oh, I share a dog with my ex or I share a cat with my ex. No, you either take the dog or give the dog back to Brad. I cannot do the whole dog thing.
Every other weekend, we have to meet up at the dog park and have this, like, awkward exchange.
So, hold on. If me and my boyfriend bought a dog and we split up, do you expect me to give up my dog?
Yeah.
There's 9 times out of 10 the dog is close to one of the two of you.
The dog prefers one or the other.
Yes. And by the
way, whether you want to admit it to yourself or not, they prefer one or the other.
And a dog doesn't want to go from one house to another house. Like, come on.
A dog would love to go from one house to another house. It's all different smells.
That's what you tell. Oh my God, here we go.
Well, let's talk about this couple. Will Blake Shelton proposed to Gwen Stefani? Okay, Ellen puts him in the hot seat today. Watch.
Let's talk about Gwen. I gave you a clock. Remember that clock I gave you?
Yeah.
To remind you, time is ticking.
Yeah.
Really, would you like to guest host one day?
Sure.
You can have anybody on you want. You can have Kay. Gwen on, you can have anybody on.
Okay.
You could propose to her here.
She tries so hard. I love that because most of us would probably be like, stop asking about the proposal, but Ellie can just go there. Do you think he's ever going to propose?
So, according to People magazine this week, the reason they're not getting married is because actually she wants to be able to have a proper church wedding. She's very Catholic and cannot do it at the moment with her situation at the moment. And that's why she does not want to get married.
Mm. I've always wanted a church wedding, but we all know that's not happening. Like, it ain't happening for me. But I feel like sometimes people forget, like, if you met the love of your life and you know that this was destiny, it's already been blessed by God.
Aww.
You know what I mean? Like,
I love that way of thinking, but there are people that are just really devoted to the religion, and to them, it doesn't feel real. It doesn't feel like a real marriage unless they do it in the church in front of the eyes of God, because that's just what they truly believe. And so, I don't think that if that's really the case, I don't know if their sourcing is correct or not, but if that's really the case, I can understand that. You know, she needs to get an annulment or whatever. She can make it happen.
No, annulment is hard.
It's not impossible, though. I know many people have done it. So it can happen. It's just, I don't feel as though it's ever been a priority for them. I feel like these two fell in such deep love so fast. They've been like a married couple. They've been committed to each other from the very beginning to where, and they've both been married before. Blake's been married twice before. I think it's like, I don't feel like they feel it's a necessity.
I absolutely agree with you.
But I do think it eventually will happen.
I think she wants to do it. She's made it known that she wants that annulment. And you don't just get an annulment to say, oh, I got an annulment, we were never married.
Yeah.
If you've had 2-3 kids with a man and you've spent the better part of a decade with someone, if you're getting an annulment, that means that you're ready to move on and get married again.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just wake up and say, I think I just want an annulment to say I just did it. It's a process.
It's a process, but I think they're going to be together whether she ever gets it or not.
I agree.
Okay, let's read your guys' thoughts on our story so far on Kris Jenner's clone interviewing Beyonce. Constance says, Kris Jenner needs to find that doppelganger and put her to good use.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, what a great, like, spook.
A clone.
Mm-hmm. One bruv says, Taylor needs to get over it. Prince, George Michael, the Beatles, and others have all gone through this. This isn't sexism.
It's not sexism, actually. And somebody has spoken about this on my Twitter a minute ago. Forget that this is about a woman, Taylor, speaking about a man, Scooter. Think about this as somebody who feels powerless talking about powers that are out of her control. And for that, take gender out of the equation. This is about Taylor not owning her music. It actually doesn't really have anything to do with gender.
Okay. And Stephanie says, she stands by Taylor, but I do worry the harder she pushes at every angle she has, people may start to get annoyed. I think she's
And that's where it has something to do with gender, is the reaction to Taylor talking.
Yeah. All right.
Not the situation. Sorry.
Coming up, Kristen's in the house!
Yes!
The Vanderpump Rules is here. She is talking drama, feuds, and she has a big exclusive announcement for us. That is next!
Yes!
Is there a little bit of jealousy?
Oh my God, Lisa, I'm not jealous of Dana.
Are you 34 or are you 16?
Witches of WeHo, Dunzo.
You moved in your perfect house, Kate. Your perfect husband and your perfect what the f*** else?
That's push me. Listen to me.
That might make me selfish. Fine, but I'm selfish.
Oh, you're just jealous, Tom.
Tom.
What is this?
I'm shook it.
Okay, I'm gonna need Sheena's inhaler after that preview. From Vanderpump Rules, Kristen Doty, everybody.
Hold on, so we had Tom on the other day and he would not tell us why he got arrested, so will you?
I'm not gonna have Tom hate me again. Tom and I are finally in a good place, so just watch the seas.
How did you guys get to that place?
It took a lot of time. I think Tom had to realize that he had to like notice that I'm not like a complete psychopath anymore, that I'm just like sort of crazy, and I was done sabotaging his relationship with Ariana, so.
Was he making you crazy?
But yeah, of course. Tom's Tom made me crazy for, I mean, every boy I've ever dated has made me crazy.
Is that why you wrote this book? By the way, she wrote a book. It's called He's Making You Crazy.
Yes!
And this is the first exclusive look at the cover.
Oh, you look hot, girl.
Tell me why you wanted to write this guide to dating.
I'm gonna cry. This is so exciting.
It's amazing.
So Michelle Alexander, who's my co-author, we've been friends for years and years, and I came to her one day with this idea for this book and just said, like, what do you think about this? Would you want to help me or, like, work on it with me, blah, blah, blah. And I start just telling her some stories from my past, things that didn't happen on Vanderpump Rules ever since my very first kiss, things I went through in high school. And she was like, dude, you have lived 18 lifetimes. Like, these are the craziest stories I've ever heard in my life. Like, we have to write about this. So that's kind of how we just started doing it. And I just tell her all of the stories. We write them and starts from my first kiss all the way to where I'm at now, which is single AF.
Single so, completely.
Completely single. Like, and kind of not knowing who the one is. Maybe I know and maybe I don't. But right now, I think what the lesson I've learned throughout all of these guys is that I didn't have enough self-love. So that's kind of the journey that I'm on right
now. Have you found that?
Self-love? Yes. Yeah. It's a really cool, and it's another we write about in the book, but it's a really cool journey to sort of be on and realize, like, I thought highly of myself, but did I think highly enough of myself? And if I did, I probably wouldn't have stayed in all of these relationships.
Well, and I know that's been kind of a fight that you've had with your girlfriends, you know, like I know Katie and Stassi have been like, he doesn't treat you right. And you're like, stand, you know, believe in me and believe me when I tell you things are good. You know, do you look back now and say like, gosh, dang it, they might have been right.
No, I think that, like, they also made me a little crazy. I think your girlfriends can also make you crazy.
That's...
And it's, I know that it comes from a great place in their heart, but those are my lessons to learn.
Yeah.
So just, that's kind of the point that I made all of last season, and you'll see it on this season, and even the reunion last year. It was just like, just stand by me and let me live and let me learn the lessons myself.
Yeah.
No one's gonna be able to teach you that.
Totally.
Now, we live in LA.
Yes.
Which is F-boy territory.
Sure is.
What are some clear signs that you are dating an F-boy?
Oh, God, there's so many. I mean...
And did you listen to the signs when you were dating F-boys yourself?
Of course not. Again, these are all lessons you kind of have to go through yourself, and then you have killer stories to share, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I've dated, like, the Mactors. I've dated, you know, the D-bags from the clubs and the guys that... You know, like, they're driving, like, the rented Maserati, and you're like, it's just people that kind of show
stuff
off in that
add
way.
Up.
Yeah. And I'm like, wait, where's your apartment in Koreatown? Wait,
yeah, It's never, so ever, it never adds up.
Okay, well, we have a little game we want to play with you. Mm-hmm. It has to do with a little bit of dating. Okay, we're going to call pump or dump. So you think it's a good thing?
You pump it
if you hate it. Okay, do you like blind dates, pump or dump?
Dump.
Dump?
I've been on one, and it was with Carter.
Ooh,
and that was great.
I mean,
I don't think I would do it again.
You would never do it again?
I don't think so. I think I would be too freaked out. Like, I would have to at least be able to, like, insta-stalk him first.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Sure.
Online dating, pump or dump?
I mean, I'm going to say pump again. That's how I met Carter.
cohabiting after 6 months.
Pump.
Before that, okay.
Sharing custody of dogs with an ex.
We just talked about this. Pump, yes.
You're gonna pump it.
What?
Yes.
Why?
I know, I get it because, yes, it's like one of us could be using it, the dogs as leverage. But
yes.
My dogs live with me, but I would never take them away from him. So we're trying to figure out, like, how to make that work.
Like, how often is the visit?
A pickup schedule, a drop-off schedule.
Oh, my gosh.
Know.
Okay, so how, like, I mean, does he see this dog, like, 3 days a week, or is it?
Sometimes, yeah.
Oh,
that's a lot to keep your
ex.
You gotta cut those strings, honey.
Girl.
You can't get the new D if the old D's lurking around like a ghost.
And he goes, he sees what cars are at your house, and he knows way too much about you.
Yeah. He kicks into your Nest camera. He's, like, stalking you now. That happened to me.
I'm going dump on that one.
Dating a coworker, would you do it again?
I might. Oh, I'm going to say pump because if you're around that person so often, you know, you really get to know someone that way. It starts off as a friendship. And if it gets messy, then just, you know, make him quit or get him fired.
Yeah.
Simple as that, guys. Simple as that.
Let's look at this book cover one more time. The world premiere of He's Making You Crazy, out and available in June. And check out the new season premiere of Vanderpump Rules, January 7th on Bravo. We'll be right back with more Daily Pop. That is an unbelievable cover.
Thank you so much.
It's like How to Get Away with Murder.
Congratulations.
I'm so proud.
With Sex and the City with it.
In honor of Friday the 13th, we're going to find out which one of us is the most superstitious with a segment we like to call Spook or Fluke. Okay, so I'm going to read a superstition, and if we think it's a true one or we follow it or we worry about it, we will flash a spook. And if we don't really care about it, we flash a fluke.
Okay?
First one, knock on wood. I find myself always doing
I do it all the time.
I do too.
And I always knock here.
Because I think I'll be cursed if I don't do it. Mm-hmm. Next one.
Finding a penny on its head. It's never brought me any money.
But I always pick one up because it's lucky if you find a penny.
Oh, it's supposed to offer protection from evil and harmful spirits.
Ooh. Oh, I always pick it up.
I thought it was like you'd get money, like money was coming to you.
Find a penny, pick it up, and all day long you'll have good luck. Yeah. I do that every day, every time I see one.
Okay. What about breaking a mirror? Seven years of bad luck.
I've broken so many in my life.
And she's living her best life right now.
True that.
She never lost it.
Don't cheers with water? That's impossible, Chase. What? Chase's favorite thing in the world is cheersing. So he makes me cheers nonstop. Do not open umbrellas indoors. Doesn't bother me.
It scares me.
I never do it.
And when people do it around me, I'm like, don't ever do that
again. Me too.
What's the bad thing? Let me see. Hold on. That one is, if you open an umbrella before you head outside, bad luck will rain on you.
I believe it.
Whatever. Karen Acorn, to stay forever young.
I've never heard of that, but great. I'm going to go and find one now.
There are no trees left in the world.
I have never heard of that one. Don't let your purse touch the floor. Everybody yells at me every time I ever do this, but I just don't think about it.
That's why you broke. I don't believe in
it. It is. Okay, black cats crossing your path.
Is meant to be lucky in England. Isn't it funny that it's like different societies, different countries have different. I love black cats. They're lucky.
Okay, walking under a ladder. I don't do it because it scares me, because what if the ladder falls
Never
on
do
me?
It. Mm-hmm.
Wait, fluke or spook?
Fluke.
Fluke. You don't believe it?
No.
Okay.
You shouldn't walk under a ladder anyway just because something could fall on you.
Yeah. It's supposed to bring you, it's supposed to attract the devil if you do that, by the way. Ooh. Be careful. Itchy palms. Okay, I'm going to believe this one. This one. Because I remember whenever I would get that, people would tell me that and I'd be like, oh, great, but it's actually never happened, so change my mind.
I've had psoriasis on my left hand for 6 years and I ain't never got no money from that.
Yeah. I get excited every time I have itchy palms, but it never comes out. Avoiding doing anything on a full moon.
Which was on the 12th. Guys, we've just had the last full moon of this decade.
Oh.
Did you do anything?
I love full moons. They're beautiful.
That's not the question. Did you do anything during this full moon?
I looked at it.
Okay. Toast carefully or expect 7 years of bad sex.
When it comes to sex, I don't take a chance. I don't take a chance. I don't have that much
Wait,
of
so
it.
Wait, so then spook if you don't take a chance.
I don't take a chance.
All right, what about just Friday the 13th in general?
Let me say one that isn't known is that my grandmother taught me never to pass knives or scissors. So if you wanted scissors, you've done this before, I'll put them down and get you to pick them up. Because it cuts friendships.
Oh. I've never done that
it's
one.
True.
Here, Melanie,
and
take
I don't
this knife.
Believe in Friday the 13th because today's been a great day so far.
Has it?
I mean, besides the technical difficulties earlier in the show, but other than that, it's been great. All right, don't go anywhere, guys. More Daily Pop just ahead. We'll be right back. Unfortunately, we have some sad breaking news. Colin Firth and his wife, Livia, have announced their split after 22 years of marriage. The reps tell us Colin and Livia Firth have separated. They maintain a close friendship and remain united in their love for their children. They kindly ask for privacy. There will be no further comment. They have 3 children together. Oh.
Yeah, very, very sad news. I love Mr. Darcy. This, of course, comes, there were reports last year that Livia had a close friendship with a former childhood friend, which led to some rumors at the time. But yeah, very, very sad that they haven't been able to make it work.
22 years.
That's a long time. That's a successful marriage.
Oh, my goodness. Well, wishing them, you know, lots of healing. And that's tough to do right before the holidays, especially.
The hardest thing. But a lot of celebrities do that so they can get lost in the shuffle. And, you know, I know a lot of celebrities sometimes plant breakups during Thanksgiving, New Year's, or Christmas.
That's true. Maybe, like, it's been an agreement before, but they now announce it because it's a busy time. All right, well, wishing them the best. All right, that's a wrap for this week. On Monday, it's a huge show. We have Miss Universe, Miss USA, and Miss Teen USA all joining us live.
So Black Girl Magic.
Have a great weekend, everyone. Bye.
Black Girl Magic Monday.
Yes.
It's gonna be fun.
Thanks for listening to the podcast edition of Daily Pop. Remember, we've got a new episode every day. Make sure to subscribe and have a great rest of your day.